Welcome to Coffee with Jesus. I am your host, Todd Ubley. In this episode, I am joined by my co-host, Dr. Sarah Van Driel. We will be discussing God's promise to us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Sarah, why this verse in Philippians?
Well, Todd, your recent podcast on feeling anxious about the world and providing comfort to all of us out here in the midst of a world that feels totally off its axis at the moment really resonated with me and gave me thoughts of what we might tackle today, just in the fact that many, many people are more anxious than we've ever been. Our population's more anxious than we've ever been.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just to throw a few, I'm going to draw on my clinical psychology background here for just a second, just to kind of set the stage. Prior to the COVID pandemic, folks will do these pulse polls, just kind of random household surveys, you know, kind of gauging where folks are at that time. And prior to the pandemic, about 10% of people at any period would say that they were really struggling with being anxious, right? Okay. Worrisome, you know, kind of feeling like they can't get the anxiety out of their minds. It's kind of affecting the way that they live day to day. In the January to March of 2021 period, that went up to 40%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So a ginormous increase in anxiety. And then we found, you know, in kind of November of 2021, things started, you know, as COVID numbers started coming down, it kind of fell back to about 30%. But nonetheless, 30% is still so much higher. It's three times the rate of where it was before. And we could guess lots of reasons why this may be happening. You know, people have a fear for their physical safety, for the health. Many folks have lost loved ones. Folks are struggling with thinking about having their concrete needs met, whether it's job loss or job change. There's been change in family structures. You know, families are living in close quarters, and sometimes that causes conflict. And, you know, folks are worried about being able to have enough supplies, have enough food, have enough toilet paper was the thing we all laughed about for a really long time, right? But kind of to that idea of folks just having so much anxiety. And then coming into our present day, you know, COVID numbers were looking a little better, and then we had Omicron spikes, and then things started looking a little better, and then Russia invades the Ukraine. And we are, you know, all fearful of whether there might be World War III on our hands.
Right.
And as you're saying in your episode, you know, the ramifications that has for folks, you know, just internally and the external, you know, supplies of things that are in the stores and where folks are feeling and thinking. So I thought we'd talk a little today about what God says about our being anxious.
That sounds great. I haven't read any studies like you have, but I've just noticed just amongst, you know, my coworkers and people out in town, you could tell there's a lot more anxiety out there than there has been.
Yeah. And I think that's it really crucial to say, because we have the stats and the numbers, you know, and I can throw a few more out there, right? Like the fact that about 50% of parents are worried about their kids' mental health at this point. The age range that was most affected was actually our young adults. So it's the 18 to 25 year olds who were the most affected. But when you think about, you know, kind of where you are in the developmental span, that's where, you know, folks are often either, you know, off to college, like your boys, or, you know, starting new careers or jobs for the first time. And that none of that looks the same as it did before. And it's, you know, so we don't have a lot of experience to draw on, you know, and help in terms of support. And a lot of them haven't been able to get out into the world to do those things in the same way, to make those relationships, to start becoming their own people. But, you know, then it has had effects across all our age ranges. And in our high school students, for instance, they also jumped from about, you know, 10% to about 30% that report having like excessive sadness or kind of hopelessness. And so You know, I think there's just lots of room to think about many different contexts and many different scenarios, and we'd never be able to name them all. But I wanted to ground this in one of my all-time favorite go-to Bible verses. I'll just read for us. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So much in that, right? Mm-hmm. And you probably already even figured out for me that one of the things that I like to do is kind of break it apart a little bit first. This becomes one of my favorite Bible verses because this is the first verse I ever memorized. This is the first verse that my dad shared with me. My dad's one of my big spiritual mentors when I was little, because I might have what we psychologists call an anxious temperament. And then I know exactly what it's like to raise one, because my littles also has an anxious temperament, right? And so just kind of this predisposition, we're geared towards being anxious if there's reason to be anxious. And so, you know, my daddy, in trying to be a comforting soul, said, there is this verse, you know, and I learned it first as don't be anxious about anything, pray about everything, right? That was the first thing I learned. So comforting in and of itself to kind of know, you know, that God's there to help us through our anxiety, and we have to, you know, turn to him and say our prayers, make our anxieties known, and pray to him about that. But as I really, you know, have gotten older and come back to this verse and look at it, you know, there's so much more to it than just don't be anxious, because if you got an anxious temperament or you have some anxiety, reading the words, don't be anxious about anything, seems like an insurmountable task, right?
Right.
So first thinking about it, it's like in every situation, in those situations that are life and death, in those situations where you're not sure what small decision to make, the idea is that anxiety can come from any number of things. And it is in every situation, you know, that God has an answer for us, right? The way we get closer to that answer is through prayer and petition. And I actually looked up the word petition, you know, before coming on. And it's like, what is petition? And petition is making your case. It's like pleading your cause, right? Mm-hmm. So I really, as we kind of break this apart and think about prayer and the petition of God, really wants to hear what it is we want, what we desire, like getting to that. And then comes this next part that is with thanksgiving. And thinking about the juxtaposition of being anxious and being worried about something and oftentimes biting your nails and thinking about all the negatives, right? That we're asked to come with thanksgiving. We're asked to come with what are you happy about? What are you joyful for? What are you thankful for? But also knowing that the practice of gratitude, the practice of looking around us, knowing what we have and being thankful to God for what we do have is really important. It frames our thoughts and maybe starts in the idea that we have a relationship with God so we can actually go to him with our petitions, right?
Right.
And so we're going with our relationship with God in prayer. We're going with our, like, making our calls and letting him know what we are thankful for that he has given us, right? With our requests. And then comes this part that you hear a lot about, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, right? And this peace of God, I think so often it's like, what is peace? How do we get to peace? How do we stay there? And I don't know that I fully grasped that till I was, you know, sometime in my 30s, of like, just what does that peace look like? And it comes back to something we talked about in the Be Still podcast, on that peace of God really comes when we surrender, right? When we surrender, right, our need to control what's happening and turn it over to God in prayer. And when we do our prayer with both thanksgiving and petition, like pleading our cause, then we can feel good that God knows what it is that we want and can get to that place of like true peace. Like, however this comes out, I'm going back to your words then, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
You're right. And it's funny because I don't know if you remember, I gave a devotional at one of the session meetings one time about how when I was in Afghanistan, you know, I just had this anger in my heart. There's a couple that really just hurt my family. And I was just so enraged. And at first I was going to destroy them. I was going to do everything I could to hurt them in every aspect of their life. And eventually I realized, okay, I need to forgive them. And it was hard because there's a lot in the Bible about the need to forgive your brother. And I know firsthand why that's in there now, but there's very little in there about how. And being, you know, a normal American, like, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to forgive them. I forgive them. Okay, good. Done. Nope. And when that didn't work, I'm like, all right, well, I need help. So what am I going to do? I'm going to go to my friends. And they let me down. So finally, as a last resort, and I'm kind of ashamed to admit that this was a last resort, but as a last resort, I went to God. And God told me, ask me to bless them. And I was like, no, stop. Time out. You got this wrong, God. See, I do the forgiving. You do the venging. You know, that's how this whole thing works, you know? And after a couple of weeks of just basically being a petulant little child, I finally said, okay, God, I'm going to do this. But I couldn't. I had so much anger towards these people. I couldn't even still myself to ask God to bless them. I couldn't even pray. I remember I tried to open Psalm 91 because that usually calms me down. And I just started thinking about the situation again. I was just getting so angry. I literally just slammed my Bible shut. And finally, I just cried out. It was one of those times where I was like, God, help. And it was amazing. Like, this was when I finally realized what the peace of God that transcends all understanding is, because my mind just went still. It was calm. And I had felt a peace that I hadn't known in months. And that's when I realized what just that peace of God that will guard your mind in Christ Jesus, because my mind was finally still. And I just let it all out. I was asking God to bless their jobs, their finances, their home, their cars, their laundry. I mean, you name it. I was just asking God to bless it. And I just, there was such a weight that was lifted.
Todd, if anybody's listening and can't resonate with being a petulant little child that you described yourself as, then we're not being real. Because I think it's so true. And it is. And when you look at it from the logical perspective of, like, you know, what this person did to your family, it makes all the sense in the world to have that anger, right? From the logical perspective. And the answer is not always the logical one if you're kind of coming from that earthly perspective, right?
Of
what that person deserves and what happens. But when we surrender to the idea that we are kind of part of this overarching community of God, you know, hands, feet, body of Christ in the world, then what's logical for us is not always logical for somebody else, right? And that God put us at a time and in a place to learn, to grow, to be influences on others that we have no idea we're doing at the time we're doing. And when we do that, like, God help, then there is a, then that's when we come close to that peace. You know, there was a big turn for me in the effectiveness of prayer when I learned that I wanted to give my desires and my, you know, my thanks and my desires and my hopes and my dreams in my prayers, but that at the end of the day, what I wanted is for God to help lead me to be the me he created me to be, right? And right. To have the situation turn out the way, you know, that would strengthen me in the long run. And that might not be what I actually see. I'll give you the time that it really, I mean, it was over a series of times, but it was actually at Eastminster Presbyterian Church. We had been long-term in and out visitors at Eastminster I was there the morning Evie was born, right? I was in those pews the morning that later I went into labor and had my beautiful kiddo. And it, you know, raised her there. And as we came back, I always wanted more kids. I'm a clinical community child psychologist. I love kids with all my heart, you know? And so I always envisioned three. Marina says, like, you're lucky to get one, right? But nonetheless, you know, I had envisioned myself with more kids, right? And so I would say my prayers in church about God, if it is your will, I'd love to have another kid. Thinking logical sense, it makes all the sense in the world, you know, for me who loves kids, who wants kids, who like knows all the research on kids, to have another kid. Guess what? One, God's plan for me. In my whole church community, the transition not to be able to have kids anymore in a medical situation, you know, I ended up having to have surgery and it, you know, and I can't have kids anymore. And turning that over though, and being the gradual turnover of that, but just realizing in the end, and now we're about 5 years post those initial prayers and that surgery, understanding in a whole nother way that I was meant to be her mom and just her mom and to do these other things and to be able to do community things that allow me to engage in ways. And it is a coming to peace. And so I go back to that example. So I just wonder, you know, for folks who might be listening, if you just kind of reflect on what are those times where you have like gotten to that peace. So for you, it was in forgiveness of this person who harmed your family and like, and coming to that, or the stillness, you know, that led to the forgiveness of getting that prayer. You know, for me, it was the understanding, you know, that my desire and wish wasn't, you know, wasn't necessarily going to be the me I am, but that I am so happy and joyful for what I have today. And I think other podcast guests have said it, you know, in that way too. But think about the time that you've found that peace and what was it that allowed you to come, you know, to that, you know, just share from our end, you know, pandemic time, Evie's learning from home. We're all stuck in this house. We had agreed on a Friday afternoon. We were going to take our bikes out and go to a local restaurant that we can bike to, pick up dinner through the drive-thru and bring it home, right? And Evie's look forward to this all day. This is the event we're going to do. Come time to go. There's a nice rainstorm that's coming right about the time.
Oh, no. You know?
So it starts to rain and we get our bikes out and it's still drizzling a little on the way. And I was like, Evie, are we sure we want to go? And she's like, yeah, we want to go. And I was like, I hate getting wet. I was like, but you know what? I'm gonna do it anyway. Like this is the right thing to do. She's looking forward to this. This is great exercise. She needs to get out. I need to get out, even if it's raining. So we go. I get a flat tire, you know, on the way, on the bike. But it only drizzles. It only drizzles. We get a little rain. We don't get, you know, a deluge or anything like that coming while we're out. It only drizzles. We go through the drive-thru, we get our food, we get home, and I turn around to look for cars as we're about to cross the street. We stop and I turn around and look, and lo and behold, in the sky behind us, right over the ocean, was a double rainbow.
Wow.
And it was one of these moments that was just like when we can keep the openness to that despite frustration, despite being, in my case, it was a little bit wet. And we turn around to see, you know, and it just, the rainbow just always screams promise, right? It's like, God says, I'm here. I got your back. Here's my promise, you know? And so we took a picture, you know, bike helmets on and everything with the rainbow behind me. Or it reminds me with the rainbows, Evie used to come up with these little phrases. And one of her phrases on the way to school one day, it was one of those challenging mornings getting out the door. And she says, Mama, is your day not raining rainbows yet? So there's like all of these things that kind of come together of the, you know, the rainbow in the sky and like keeping the open mind for what that rainbow is going to give today, right? Or what it's going to give next week or what it's going to give next year or in, you know, and how it goes. But to turn that back, you know, like you said, our stories of not wanting to get wed, of you know, of staying may seem small, and I don't think that's to be taken for granted, because I think one of the things that is increasing the level of anxiety for folks is the amount of decisions that have to be made on a daily basis. They're a lot more decisions than we used to have to make. You know, do we run this errand? Do we go inside? Do we mask? Do we not? What do we do about school? What do we do about work? How am I going to balance this relationship? Am I on the same political spectrum as this, you know, family or not? Do I talk about this? Do I not? Do I go to church? Do I not? Do I? I mean, they could go on and on and on, right? But there are a lot of things that have kind of been turned on their head a bit. And so I think not to in any way diminish, you know, God's ability to give us peace in our little decisions, but also just to kind of think about the, you know, the world situations and where we are. And so to think about Philippians 4:6-7 and not having control over what happens, you know, but in any situation, I can go to God with my prayer and my petition, my thanksgiving, and present my case to him, you know, to take care of those who are really not in a place to be able to take care of themselves, you know, at the moment. And though it seems small, in some ways to just offer a prayer, I think it is a huge go when you know that, and you've experienced that God truly answers prayers.
Right. Absolutely. And I think part of the anxiety might be with all these big things happening in the world, people might feel like, oh, well, my problem is really small. I shouldn't even ask for help. But to God, I think all of our problems are the same. But God looks at us all, and he looks at all of our problems, and he wants to help us all. It doesn't matter if your problem seems big. It doesn't matter if your problem seems small. God is there to help. And you can take that petition to him with thanksgiving, regardless of how big it seems or how small it seems to you.
I 100% agree with that. Evie just said a couple of nights ago in devotions, no problem's too big and none are too small.
I love that. I love it, love it, love it. No problem's too big and no problem's too small. Whether our problems are big or small, we can present them to God. We can make our petitions with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Sarah, thank you for joining me again. And thank you for sharing such a phenomenal testimony. I can't wait until we can do this again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to leave feedback on this episode, please visit our website, www.coffeewithjesus.info. As always, thank you for watching, thank you for listening, and God bless.